ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
Hello, church people. My name is Valerie Izumi, and I am delighted to be joining you once again on this episode of Along the Road Encounter. My co-host, Manuel Silva Estirish, is not able to be with us today, but we are grateful to be joined today by our guest, Sarah Potschmidt-Leischerness, as we explore how we might navigate difficult conversations or conflicts that raise uncomfortable feelings of disappointment, surprise, or anger. Sarah is the Deputy Executive Director for Mission Programs in the Presbyterian Mission Agency. Welcome to Along the Road, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Valerie. It's really good to be with you. And hello, church people. It is a privilege to be on the road with you. So thank you, Valerie, for inviting me. I really was humbled and honored.
Absolutely. And we are so grateful because we know that you have been traveling and attending a board meeting. So for you to give us time when you have just returned home is really a gift. Thank you so much. So Sarah, I introduced you using your title, but would you be willing to say a little bit more about who you are outside the context of your ministry within the Presbyterian Mission Agency?
Sure. I am an elder in the Presbyterian Church, a ruling elder. I attended San Francisco Theological Seminary, but was called to Louisville in 1992 to work for the Presbyterian Peacemaking Program. But that is not all of who I am. I am married for 47 years to a wonderful spouse. I have three children who have gifted me with three bonus children plus a wonderful granddaughter. So in my spare time, when I'm not working, I spend a lot of time puddling in the garden, hiking in the woods, and cooking, and sitting at table and sharing fellowship with folks.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure when I run into you at the farmer's market, Sarah. So Sarah, when I invited you to talk about this topic and mentioned that I'd like to reference this document called Seeking to Be Faithful Together, Guidelines for Presbyterians in Times of Disagreement, you wrote back and said, oh, I'm so glad you said that, because had you not, I would have referenced it. So can you give us a little bit of history of that document and say a little bit more about it?
Sure. And as I mentioned earlier, I came to work for the Presbyterian Church for the national offices. It was then the General Assembly Council in 1992 for the Presbyterian Peacemaking Program. One of my first responsibilities was working with our advisory committee. There was a peacemaking advisory committee back then, and helping to give shape and form to a document that committee felt was really important in the life of the church. At the time, we were struggling, with no surprise. We were struggling with issues around human sexuality. And in 1991, the year before, a very in-depth research paper report to the assembly was dismissed before it was even brought to the floor, which created a lot of conflict. At the time, issues also like sexual misconduct were coming to the fore. Things that had been hidden were being given voice, and people were really struggling with how to navigate those tough topics. In addition to that, reproductive health, the role of reproductive health with our youth and young adult, it was a very contentious, the issue of ordination, of course, was a part of the conversation. And in the midst of all of that, we were just coming out of a Cold War. And people were struggling with how to have conversations that build up the body of Christ instead of tearing it apart. So that was it was adopted by the General Assembly in 1992. And for the first, I don't know how many years, the document flew off the shelves. Most presbyteries back in the day when we had paper packets, some of us remember that. it was usually included in the document and in those documents, and many presbyters reviewed the guidelines before they commenced with their business meeting as a way to help the church be the church. And that, you know, live into that phrase, they will know we are Christians by our love.
Yeah, it's I think it's a pretty powerful document, and I love how it's set up in a way that I love that it starts out by saying, in a spirit of trust and love, we promise we will. So all General Assembly participants, so commissioners, advisory delegates, resource people, volunteers, observers, all GA participants who register must affirm that they will abide by a code of conduct for General Assembly. And that's on the registration site. And I will say more about and also post that, as well as the guidelines for Presbyterians in times of disagreement in the podcast description. But as we move toward General Assembly, we really wanted more to talk about the how do you navigate times where you have very strong feelings about an issue that may be before the assembly or in the world and may come to the assembly through a commissioner resolution or some other way, or you feel strongly about an overture. How do you navigate not just the conversations that are going to come up in the discussions and the emotions, but then move toward discernment for what God, through the Holy Spirit, may be asking the church to do or be? Because commissioners, although the presbyteries are the ones who elect commissioners, they're not representing the presbytery. They are speaking, you know, from their own self. So help us think that through and how this document might help strengthen our witness and our behavior.
Boy, that's such a great question, Valerie. So I spent a lot of time over the years, and my roles changed some, so I practice it differently. But I really believe our call to be peacemakers is a spiritual discipline. I believe that the church has a higher calling. And I also believe that the church should be a demonstration to the world about how human community should be formed and shaped. For me, there is a responsibility that we have. And it is all a part of our discipleship. I used to do a lot of workshops at, you know, presbytery meetings, spend time in congregations, doing kind of basic trainings about, so how do we have these civil conversations? How do we hold that the tension of maybe even polarizing issues and yet stay faithful to one another and understand that we are all one in the body of Christ instead of tearing the body of Christ apart. Over the years, I used to think it was like a set of tools that you learned and carried around. But I also learned in those tools that I am human and I'm never going to get it perfect. And I used to like to say that when we're dealing with difficult issues, we always have our learner's permit, that we'll never get it perfectly right. But so for me, the first thing when I am entering into a difficult space, what I know might be a difficult space, and what I would encourage our commissioners to think about is to first center in your heart, not your head, and center in and look at the folks who you may be pretty viscerally disagreeing with. Stop and look at their face and recognize that they too are created in the image of God, and the space they hold is holy space. And if you can consider that, it helps change how you step into things. One of my mentors, anthropologist, Mennonite anthropologist, John Paul Lederach, said that, and he's written a lot of the textbooks on conflict transformation, conflict resolution that are used on college campuses. He said, somewhere along the way, he said that working for peace is more about who you are and how you enter into spaces than any toolkit or any tools or training that you might have. And I do think that that's true. The other piece that I have tried in my own life to embody, which again, it's never perfect. I get angry and frustrated. Is that to be very aware of how I am living in that space. Am I feeling defensive? Am I feeling hurt? Because whenever we recognize that we are in a conflicted space, so it is a head and heart thing, right? I said, start with your heart. But there is a head thing too, that we tend to move back, and people talk about reptilian brains and all that stuff, where we go into fight or flight. I like to try to take do a checklist about what space I'm in. And if I'm feeling defensive or angry, and I feel like I need to step back. And again, first and foremost, recognize that the person that I'm engaged with feels as passionately and maybe out of their faith as I do. We just don't see eye to eye. So there are three things that I have learned over the years. The first one is to listen. And I just heard, I'm reading a book right now, and I heard this phrase that I just loved. And it said, we have two ears and one mouth, and we should use our ears. Since we have two of those, we should use them more. So listen carefully. And is probably the first and most important. Henry Nouwen has a beautiful piece about, I'd love to read it if I can. Henry Nouwen says this: listen with unqualified personal regard, with the sense that what you're hearing is as important at this moment for this person to say. A helpful listener doesn't have to believe, agree, or do anything about it. What's crucial is to hear it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, and that is one way that we show that we see the imago Dei, the holiness, the image of God in the other, is when we stop and listen. So that's one piece. Listening is really important. I think the second piece is the space that we come into. It's important not to deny our truth, our story, but acknowledge it, that it may be only part of the story, that the wisdom of God is far greater than any of us. And there are threads of truth that weave together to make a beautiful, you know, the fabric of life and the fabric of the body. So, and then the third thing is, whenever you can, trying to find the spaces where you can concur with, where you can agree, where you can lean in and go, I see where you're coming from with that. I get it. It doesn't mean you need to change anything about how, but maybe your world, your view will just grow. And sometimes the best thing to do is to just stop and let the space invite the spirit into the space, and trust that the spirit will come.
Well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, when I listen to your what you're saying, Sarah, I'm thinking that where I might think of spiritual discipline as this thing, right? But really it's more aspirational, right? It's something that needs to be nurtured, and, you know, your self-awareness needs to be nurtured. All of the things that your approach to others needs to be nurtured. That transformation happens because we are doing things to develop our spiritual muscles, as it were. And so you really have given me a different way of looking at that, because I wondered, often we haven't practiced that, right? We haven't practiced developing our spiritual discipline because we think it's just this thing we have. And so it might not be so easy in a moment of conflict, or where you're like, you believe you are right. You know, I know it's right, and I don't understand why no one else in this room is getting me. If you've not practiced building those spiritual muscles in the way that you're describing, so that your reaction is the way, or that your approach is the way you're describing, then that says something about, you know, how you're responding to God's call to constantly grow in Christian discipleship.
And as I said at the get-go, we never get this right. You know, some of the greatest peacemakers that I've had the privilege, there are things that, you know, I mean, we really do need to approach it. One of my favorite texts is the first six verses of Ephesians 4, where, and I can't quote it exactly, but it's, you know, the writer of the epistle, which has been Paul, you know, kind of designated to Paul, says, I, prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And then it goes on, there is but one body, one faith, one spirit, one baptism, one God of all, who is above all and in all and through all. And I love that piece because it begins with an invitation, a begging, to lead a life worthy of that calling. And then reminds us at the end that there is but one body, and we are all members one of another. And when one part of us hurts and feels alienated, we all feel that. I don't know everything. And one of the things I test myself, and I'm not very good at it, I will confess, I really seek to have my mind changed sometimes. Mm. Help me understand a bigger picture. And I've really been struggling with that the last few years. The places where I'm really working is to understand how so many folks in our nation are so disenfranchised and are following, you know, and believing in things that help them feel enfranchised. And what's behind that? But if we, you know, cut off all of our ties when situations flow into abuse and humiliating and degradation, you know, we need to create safe space for ourselves.
Right.
But when there are, and that was one of the tricks back when I was working with congregations, because sometimes there had been abuse of power. Mm-hmm. Our need to speak truth, but we can still, even in those situations, it's a courageous thing to speak the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would I have for our commissioners? One piece is lean in and celebrate that the body of Christ is gathering together in Salt Lake. And what a special space for us to be in, right? Because the church there really is a space for people from all walks of life. They see themselves as being that space that is welcoming and that honors the Imago Dei and all people. So I think it's going to be a great assembly.
There is no better way to end this podcast than the words that you have said, starting with you reading from Ephesians. I'm so moved. I'm so grateful. I asked you to share with us your wisdom, and you have done that, Sarah. I love talking with you. I absolutely love talking with you.
My wisdom is only partial. It's the way I seek to live my life. I wish I was able to embody it all the time. But because I think that's what, I mean, Christ calls us to be peacemakers. And we've even politicized that. Mm-hmm. And not about any one political action or way of viewing the world. It's a way of being.
Yeah. Amen for that. Oh, thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate you spending so much time with us. And you've given us so much to think about and ways in which we can prepare ourselves as we walk along the road toward General Assembly. We still have time to prepare ourselves and to really take seriously what it means to have a spiritual discipline and to enter a space with love and care for one another. Thank you again.
Oh, looking forward to being in Salt Lake City with
yes,
y'all.
Same here. Thank you so much.
Blessings.
As we travel along the road to General Assembly, we should be mindful of the values present at the General Assembly as they are stated in the manual of the General Assembly. These are values that enable us to engage one another in love, humility, grace, and servant discipleship as the council of the whole church, to encourage and increase collaboration within and among all councils of the church, participate in discussion, deliberation, and discernment in ways that are fair and honest and open, and to focus each meeting of the General Assembly to encourage the full and prayerful participation of those seeking the mind of Christ for the whole church. These are values we should affirm and embrace as we seek to serve in councils at all levels of the church. In this podcast, Sarah references the guidelines for Presbyterians in times of disagreement, seeking to be faithful together, which were adopted by the General Assembly in 1992. The Assembly noted, "We realize that our perspectives are limited, so to help us affirm each other, enhance our community, stay open to the viewpoints of others, and be sensitive to cultural diversity, we commit ourselves to the guidelines in a spirit of prayer, trust, and love, seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit." The guidelines are linked in the description to this podcast, and our hope is that you will study them and also reflect on the insights shared by Sarah so that you are encouraged to further develop the mindset, skills, and spiritual practices that will deepen listening and allow for emotionally intelligent approaches to disagreements and conflicts. Siblings, Sarah paraphrased from Ephesians 4, and the message shares it this way. "I want you to get out there and walk, better yet run, on the road God called you to travel. and mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and start, but steadily, praying yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. Siblings, until the next time, take good care and peace.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.